Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast, where I'm actually not live for once on the Twitch channel today. I'm doing this back old school style, you know, just sitting at the computer and just talking to you about anime. And what's up, everybody? My name is Nick, as you all know by now. And today, I know it's like 7 or 8 weeks late, but I have to do it. I always have to do it. I know I'm super, super late on it, and I apologize. But I've been busy with things. I've been busy with other episodes, and I'll be honest with you, I've been kind of lazy in regards to getting this episode out as well. But I wanted to do it last week, but Mother's Day put it on hold, so we're getting it done today. But it is my top 10 males and females from the winter 2023 season. Now, I know the winter 2023 season is probably pushed in the back of other people's minds right now, considering how stacked the spring season is, but I'd be remiss as a waifu and husbando lover if I didn't talk about my favorite males and females from the winter 2023 season. So, let's get right into it. We always start off with the males because this is Waifus and Weeaboos, and we save the waifus for last. But first and foremost, these two characters are not going to be on my favorite males or females list because they were basically just entities. Entities or, not humanoid characters. And that was Sui and Fel from Campfire Cooking in Another World. Sui and Fel literally made that anime for me. Makoto was great, yes, but it was nice every Tuesday coming home, watching Sui and Fel and Makoto just eating delicious foods and doing fun stuff and pew-pewing and hair blowing in the wind. It was great stuff. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Sui and Fel. Two of arguably the best characters in the winter 2023 season. So I'm going to tip my cap to those two to start off the show. But coming in at number 10, we actually just got done talking about him, is Makoto Tsuyoshi from Campfire Cooking in Another World. I kind of liked his powers a lot. I liked how, I mean, I called it Isekai Amazon because all he would do is just pull up his order list and just order whatever he wanted and it would be sent to this world. He was able to befriend a Fenrir, I guess, I don't know, I'm bad with the pronunciation of that, but basically a god. And all he has to do is cook food for this god. And then he gets the power of the other gods as well. So I guess he's pretty OP, but in a sense, he's kind of not OP either. But he was still a fun character to watch. And like I said, the trio of Makoto, Sui, and Fel definitely made that anime a lot more better than what I expected it to be. Coming in at number 9, I had Machio Hidaku from Farm Life in Another World. Machio was fun. I liked him a lot. It's starting to get to the point now with these isekai anime that it's generic, that you get blessed with like a certain item or like a specific talent. And that's the trope that you have. And I like that his item was a farming tool that can basically turn into anything. I thought that was a pretty cool concept. I liked how he started off literally living in a tree, and then grew his expertise in the world by taming some fire wolves, some spiders, and eventually got himself a harem. Even though the anime does a really good job putting the harem aspect to the side, it's a very comforting anime, and I really did like Hidaku a lot. We do get him in a relationship, and he does have a child later on in the series with Ru. But the manga, like, I'm okay with the harem aspect if it makes sense. And I feel like this story, it does make sense. and the manga does go a little bit deeper into the relationship aspect of the story, whereas the anime just focuses on this man in this town, you know, building relationships with other towns and, you know, basically coming into their own. So that was really good. And I liked Machio a lot. Coming in at number 8, I had Morlock from Handyman Saito. Just a fucking hilarious, perverted old man who was a mage and a pretty badass mage at times. I liked when he went young and became like that wolf. And, you know, he had some pretty big moments. He had some pretty big moments and a lot of unexpected and shocking moments as well. But Morlock made me laugh throughout the entire show, so that's why I really liked him a lot and coming in at number 8 on my list. Coming in at number 7, I expected him to be a little bit higher because of how highly I praised this anime, but I have Amane Fujimiya coming in at number 7. I guess because he was like that little standoffish character trope. He reminded me a little bit of Hikigaya from My Teen Romantic Comedy, except, you know, less mean and more laid back and kind of kept to himself. I think I just really like that trope a lot. And for him to open up the way he did for Sheena as well, I thought was really nice. And just his interactions throughout the show was really good too, and learning about his past and everything. Kind of generic, yeah, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought they did a good job developing his character. Coming in at number 5, I had Junichiro from Tomo-chan as a Girl. We've talked about this before with my love for Tomo-chan. There is slight bias there because I do own the entire manga. I did own the entire manga, and I read the entire manga before the show aired. So there was a little bit of bias there, but June's great, you know. He does have a little airheadedness to him, yes, but he basically realizes rather quickly that, you know, Tomo is a girl and that he's in love with her. And I kind of get where he's coming from. You're best friends with somebody who can literally beat your ass, and you don't know, like, if having romantic feelings is, you know, the right thing to do. And, like, he doesn't want to lose her, and I get it. So, like, I get where he's coming from in the sense that, like, he does see her as a girl, but he also does not want to see her as a girl. So, but yeah, June coming in at number, 6. Coming in at number 5. Honestly, a shock for me that he was so high, but coming in at number 5, I had Siegwald Fitzenhagen, or Sieg, from Endo and Kobayashi. Sieg was an interesting character. He really was. I loved how he listened to Endo and Kobayashi. Like, it was just natural. I loved how he always believed in what they were saying. And I loved how his love for Lisetan or Lisolette never wavered. Even with all the bad shit that was going on later on in the anime, his love for her just never faltered at all. And I thought he was a really good character. Really great character, I should say. Very fun, very funny, and very accepting for who, you know, for who Lise really was as a girl. So I had Sieg coming in at number 5. Coming in at number 4, I had Saito from Handyman Saito. I'm always a big fan of, you know, excuse me, I had to burp right there. Isekai characters who have little to no powers when they are sent to another world. And Saito, the only thing he had for them was his, you know, skills as a handyman. Plus his relationship, his back and forth with Ryelza was pretty fucking cool. And I liked how he could use his lockpicking skills to, like, open treasure chests as well. So, like, stuff like that I really liked, and I really like Saito a lot as a character. Thoroughly enjoyed him throughout the show. Coming in at number 3, I had Rei Sua from Buddy Daddies, or Papa Rei. Papa Rei was funny, dude. He was the video game assassin from Buddy Daddies. He was the guy who really liked sweet foods. he was the dad that can relate to Miri on a, you know, like on a child's level. But like him in the last episode, like when he went to confront his dad, pretty badass. If it wasn't for Kazuki, Ray would have been number two, but Kazuki was number one. Kazuki was number two. From Buddy Daddies. I just liked his backstory a little bit more than Ray's. And I just liked his interactions. Like I felt like Kazuki was more of a main character than Ray was, even though Ray was a pretty important character as well. I thought the story focused way more on Kazuki and his background than it did on Ray throughout the show. But Kazuki's love and, you know, dedication to Miri and seeing like everything that happened like with his ex-wife and him sleeping around and shit like that really was fucking something special, I felt like. And that's why I had Kazuki at number two for best male characters of the season. Coming in at number one, I'm breaking my rule again. Alright. I think I've only done this once where I've broken my rule of having a character top the charts in seasonal anime that are not, you know, on shows that have more than one season. So I know the last time I did it was with Kurumi taking the number one spot over Yor, but that was because the main focus in Data Live 4, like it has been spread out, and Kurumi never got her chance to shine. She got her chance to shine in season 4 of Data Live, whereas Belle from Danmachi season 4 has had the entire series to shine. But I still have Belle as my favorite character, my favorite male character, in the winter 2023 season. Listen, my man went above and beyond this season. He really did. The fight with the Juggernaut in the first half, the fight with the Juggernaut in the second half, like just him getting fucked up left and right, coming back into the Coliseum to save Ryu, just literally everything, like taking on the death sheeps and shit. My man went ham. And to see his relationship building with Ryu and seeing him like grow into a much better adventurer was pretty fucking awesome to see. They haven't announced season 5 yet, but it's basically going to happen, and I'm super excited for it. But for me personally, Belle was the best male character of the season. Sorry about if my voice sounds a little off. It's been allergy season has been crazy here lately. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But now we're going to get into my top 10 female characters of the season, and I gotta be honest, it was a pretty weak season for female characters. I actually had to, like, grasp at some straws to, like, pull some into my top 10. Because, honestly, I don't think there was any that stood out too much, personally. There was some that I liked, but none that really, so for me, what makes like a top tier female or male character is if I want to buy like merchandise of that character. And honestly, there's only one character this season, in regards to both sides, who I'd buy a figure of, and that's gonna be my number one female, that I will talk about pretty soon. But first and foremost, we got to start off at number 10. Coming in at number 10 was Tilty Claret from Magical Revolution of the Reincarnated Princess and the Genius Young Lady, I'm going to tell you this right now. I had neither of the two main characters in this show as in my top 10. I do have Tilty because I liked her dark aura. I thought she was cool looking. I thought her character design was cool. And I thought her concept was way better than the other two. She should have been in the show more. That's my hot take. And I thoroughly enjoyed her. For the little bit of screen time she had, I thought she was the best character in the show. I really did. She made the most sense, too. She made the most sense. So, I had Tilty at number 10. Coming in at number 9, a character who I've already mentioned before in Rurushi from Farm Life in Another World. She was your vampire who came and found Machio in the town. And was the first, you know, female to live in the town and was the first female to give birth to Machio's son. I liked that she was a vampire. I liked her design. Voice actress was great. And I just liked how she was like the right hand man of Machio throughout the show. So thoroughly enjoyed Rue. Very cute, very adorable. And, you know, she... You know, is one of the reasons why I'm continuing on. Like, I'm reading the manga from the beginning to see like what I missed, and like she was like one of the main reasons why I'm reading the manga. So, coming in at number 8 is Lizetan from Endo and Kobayashi. It's crazy. I don't like the tsundere archetype. I actually hate the tsundere archetype a lot. But the fact that like other people know that like so my issue with the tsundere archetype is that the characters are tsundere, like the girl is tsundere, but the main character is not aware of it. That's my fucking issue. Like they're like the tsundere girl is a piece of shit, but like the main character who she's like fucking being mean to is like unaware that like she's a tsundere or whatever and like she's hiding behind her feelings. But Sieg is aware of it. So like the fact that like Sieg knows that like this is just a facade actually makes me feel better about it. And I enjoy it like so much more that, you know, Sieg understands that, like, hey, this is a facade and this isn't really who Lise really is. And that's what makes Sieg love her even more. But thoroughly enjoy that. And that's one of the reasons why I have, as number 8 on my top female characters of the season. So I have Lise coming in at number 8. Coming in at number 7, I have Carol Olsen from Tomo-chan is a Girl. Again, biased again. I love Carol, Mizusu, and Tomo. They were all on this list. Carol finished a little bit lower than the rest of them. Carol finishing at number 7. But I thought the voice actress did a really good job. I'm impressed that she did the American or the English and Japanese voice for Carol. I would have been even more impressed if she did like the Spanish and like Russian voices for her. But I'm still very impressed with the amount of work that she did for the English version of Tomo-chan, or the English version of for Carol Olsen. But I thought they did a really good job with her backstory. Like I said, I've already known you know, everything about Carol. And it all came down to how well the voice actress did, and she did a really good job for it. Continuing on with some of my favorite Tomo-chan girls, I have Mizusu coming in at number 6. Oh, who do I have? 6. Coming in at number 6 on my list of top 10 characters. And again, it came down to the my likeness of Mizusu. I liked her backstory. You know, I liked how she was a little bit of a troll and like she didn't want Tomo to, you know, be out of her life. But I thought her VA did a tremendous job. The anime depicted her as, you know, what I imagined her, like her hair color and, you know, her aura and like her eye color and everything about her. I thought they did a really good job, and I like Mizusu a lot. I do. Coming in number five, we're in my top five now. I have Ryelza from Handyman Saito. Just a badass warrior babe who, you know, has a soft side for a man trying to unlock a treasure chest, and she's a fucking dime. That's literally the best I can, like, I can explain her. Ryelza is beautiful. She comes up big at times. Like, her protecting Saito at times is fucking awesome. The bed scenes, you know, chef's kiss. But I thoroughly, like, a badass bitch with a big ass sword. Yeah, sign me up any day of the week. And that's why I had Ryelza coming in at number five of my top five or top 10 favorite females of the season. And speaking of badass bitches with swords, even though she's kind of a reincarnated girl, even though she was an old man in her previous life, I've Inglis Chris Yukis from Reborn the Master of Blade. Chris is an interesting one because Chris technically has the mind of an 8-year-old king in a previous life, but in this current life, Chris is a smoking hot white-haired babe with a tremendous body and the appetite like Goku. She's literally Goku. She is literally Goku. She has the appetite as Goku, as we mentioned, and she just wants to fight stronger. She just wants to fight stronger beings and fight stronger people so she can get stronger herself. And, you know, what more do I need for a, you know, for a interesting and fantastic female character? The show, definitely not as good as I expected, but I heard that they do, you know, they do divert from the manga and from the light novel, so I am interested in reading the light novel because I heard the light novel does get a little bit darker down the road, so I am intrigued by that. Coming in at number three, this one is actually pretty tough to pick between these two, but again, bias took over. Coming in at number three, I had Sheena Mahidu from The Angel Next Door Spoils Me Rotten. For me, Sheena was just adorable. It came down to Sheena just being super fucking adorable. Loved her throughout the oh my god, I can't even talk right now. Loved her throughout the series. Just grew on me as a character. Seeing her backstory was like heartbreaking at times. And seeing her confide in Amine and like being part of Amine's family now was really something special. Actually went out and bought all the light novels, so there's that. And I'm looking forward to reading those, but Sheena was very, I had her in my top 10 favorites for on Mal for a little bit. But I think I took her out already because I think somebody in the spring season took over for her. Maybe Anna Yamada from The Dangers of My Heart, I think. I'm actually watching that and reading it right now, so I think that might be the one. But yeah, Sheena coming in at number three on the list. Coming in at number two, I've already talked about the bias, ladies and gentlemen. And you know I had to put my girl in there at number two. At number two, I have Tomo Aizawa from Tomo-chan is a Girl. But yeah, Tomo. Just the tomboy, like, short-haired tomboy girl with, you know, a great body and a personality that, you know, is kind of tough and rugged, but she's definitely, you know, she's definitely a girl. You know, she's the type of character archetype for me that when I see it, it's like, she's the one that, like, should not realize, like, how appealing she is, but she does. She realizes it right away. She confesses to June literally in the first seconds of the story, and she wants to go out with him. And usually you don't see that in these types of stories. Usually the girl is like oblivious to like how beautiful they are. But like Tomo knows that she's in love with this dude. Riri did a great job, or Riri did a great job as her voice actress, actor. I think she should be up for Actress of the Year or Actor of the Year for voicing Tomo. I thought she did a phenomenal job. My favorite part of the anime was like any of the screams that she did. Any of the screams or yelling that Tomo did or that Riri did. I thought she did a fucking phenomenal job voicing Tomo. But coming in at number one, we've already talked about this character. She is a repeat character. And she is from the same anime that our favorite male character of the season is from. And that's Ryu Lion from Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon Season 4. Now, hear me out. I consider Ryu to be in the same category as Kunimi when we talked about this before. Ryu's been in like one scene where she fights the giant in the underworld or whatever, or in the dungeon. She fights the big fucking Cyclops. In season 4 of Danmachi, we dive deep into her backstory. And in the second part, well, in Danmachi, we dive deep into like a little bit of her backstory. But in the second part of season 4, we dive really, really deep into her backstory. We find out what happened with her familia. We find out about the Juggernaut. We find out about a whole bunch of other shit. And then on top of that, we get to see her relationship and progression and her love, because I will not hear anything else. She is in love with Belle. She is in love with Belle. They are arguably the best ship in this show. Belle should be with Ryu. I guess in a close second, maybe Eyes. But it should not be Hestia. It should not be. My rankings for girls he should be with is Ryu, Eyes, probably Kudahime, and then maybe Makoto. But I think Makoto would be better off with somebody else. And then there's like Lily, but like I can't see Lily in a relationship. I see Lily in Wealth more than I see Lily and Belle. I do. And then like Makoto, I see her like with one of the other like samurai that are in the familia as well. But for me, it's either Kurihime or Kuriyukihime, whatever her name is. I mean, maybe you could throw Aisha in the mix, maybe. But I would go Ryu and Eyes in that order. I think he's gonna end up with Eyes at the end of the series. I really in an ideal world, I hope he doesn't end up with anybody. And it's just open ended. But I think he's gonna end up with Eyes. I really do. But I pray that he ends up with Ryu. But like Ryu's fights, like everything she did in the second part of Danmachi season 4 was just fucking like excellent. Excellent. And I thoroughly enjoyed her so much in the second half of Danmachi season 4. And that's why she got mine number one female spot of the season. So, with that, let us review real quick. My top 10 male characters were Mukoda from Campfire Cooking, Machio from Farm Life in Another World, Morlock from Handyman Saito, Amane from Angel Next Door Spoils Me Rotten, June from Tomo-chan is a Girl, Sieg from Endo and Kobayashi Live, Saito from Handyman Saito, Rei Sua from Buddy Daddies, Kazuki from Buddy Daddies, and then Belle from Danmachi. On the female side, I had Tilty Claret from Magical Revolution. At 9, Ru Rudishi from Farm Life and Another World. 8, I had Lizitan from Endo and Kobayashi, followed by Carol Olsten and Mizuzu Gundo from Tomo-chan is a Girl, both respectively. I had Ryalza coming in at number 5 from Handyman Saito. I had Chris from Reborn to Master of the Blade, Sheena from Angel Next Door Spoils Be Rotten, Tomo Aizawa coming in at number 2, and then I had Ryu Lion coming in at number one. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen, for this episode of the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast. I'm actually not, again, I'm not live, surprisingly. And we're in the season right now where it's very difficult for me to do live episodes of the podcast because my room slash office gets really hot, like really, really hot. And I can't have the fans on because that'll fuck up the noise, you know, the noise of the microphone. And I don't have a noise-canceling microphone. And in a couple weeks when I put my air conditioning unit in, or like when we can really turn on the air conditioning in the house, I can blast the air conditioning in my room. I can get the room cooled. And then I'm able to do a live episode of the podcast because the room is cold and like I don't have to wear like next to nothing. That's the thing. Like when I'm doing this podcast now, it's like I can't, like it's so hot in here that I would just be sweating bullets. So yeah, probably in the next couple of weeks we'll be back to doing live episodes. This where I live is starting to get tremendously hot during the day and night now. So yeah, stay tuned for live episodes. But that is it, ladies and gentlemen, for this episode. Make sure you follow, like, subscribe on all the platforms that I'm streaming on. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, Spotify, Anchor. Check me out on Geekscape.net. Big shout out to the boys at What Do You Say Anime. Chili Rex, find them on Twitter. Great guys, great podcasts. Find me on Twitter. Find me on all socials. Waifus and Weeaboos on Facebook. Waifus and Weeaboos on Twitter. NJ Otaku on Tumblr. And Sora Sensei 1 on Twitch and TikTok. And if you're looking for some of the best stickers, peekers, t-shirts, mouse pads now. He's putting out mouse pads now. Check out Sukawa.com. Use the promo code SoraSensei1 and get 5% off your entire order. I think he just dropped new Pokemon peekers that like are flipping you off, so you can put them on your car and like people will be like, "Oh, no!" So yeah, definitely check those out. And I think that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for this episode of the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast. What's next in the docket? I don't know. Maybe we're like 7 or 8 weeks into the spring season, so we got the spring review, we got the spring males and females, we got the summer preview. So I think we're gonna do another episode soon and maybe do like an anime review. I think we're gonna dive deep into an anime or a manga and talk about that in an upcoming episode as well. I also want to get back into doing some throwback episodes with Miles. I want to do more episodes with Pinky, and I do want to start doing more collabs with other content creators like Chili, like Pete, and a couple other ones as well. So stay tuned for some of that stuff as well. But as for this episode, I think that's it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast. And I will see you soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.